warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott sitting in for Bob Enyart today, and with me is Leslie Hanks.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, it's good to see you. We just barely made it in the door at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to say deja vu. This is kind of like a repeat of last week.
Yeah, it is. It's always good to be on the radio with you, Leslie. We get a lot done.
What a thrill to be with you, and we always appreciate Bob letting us have the microphone, so thanks, Bob.
And I always like to have the headphones on and listen to the introduction music, or whatever you call that, bumper music. Mm-hmm. I love that music. I do. Because it's
that
true.
That means Bob and your life's about to start, right?
Yeah, it does. Let's talk about, when we were together last week, we talked about possible closing of the Alabama abortion mill. And I would be shocked if it closed, because it was going before a judge, and we know what can happen when something goes before a judge, and I would be shocked. Well, I am in the
state of shock. Yeah, we were just trying to go back in our memories and recall whether or not the hearing the day before or the night before the hearing in Alabama. It turns out that the clinic which Diane Durzis owns in Mississippi, she owns
Jackson.
One in Jackson and one in Alabama, all women, new women. Anyway, the Jackson, Mississippi clinic had a woman taken to the hospital in an ambulance.
And that was before the judge, because I remember reading an article wondering, you know, just musing whether or not that would have affected the judge.
Right. And so we don't know whether it did, but we were very pleased to see that they did close what was really an illegal clinic in the first place, because Diane Durzis lost her license about a year ago.
Yeah.
In that location. And then, as we were kind of trying to explain that day, she has a gentleman, Bruce Norman, the abortionist, flown in from another state, and they were trying to claim he was running a medical center or just a doctor's office. But as you were explaining to the audience last week, they could only do so many abortions every other month or something. And so somehow they realized they were scamming the system. Can you imagine that?
No.
An abortionist scamming the system. So anyway, the judge said, closed. It's closed.
It's closed and it's not open.
Hallelujah.
I think in a couple of days they'll figure out some loophole and they'll be open again, but they're not. And praise God.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I may be in shock, but I'm still able to praise the Lord. I am so happy. And
Amen.
I think that this will affect other abortionists that are just teetering around the edge of legalities, you know, that they may be thinking their time is short, too.
Well, we know there's nothing really legal about abortion, but, you know, our country's been living under this delusion for 40-plus years that it is legal to kill kids, but
it's
not legal in God's court.
It's a crime of the most heinous sort. And
it is. It's a crime against humanity. I keep putting that on Facebook, that with a hashtag, Stop Crimes Against Humanity. And I've been telling that to the people that drive past us at the Planned Parenthood mill in Denver as well. Because it is. I mean, the kinds of things that happen in Hitler's Germany differ very little from what's going on now.
Yes.
And those were considered crimes against humanity. So I have a bumper sticker that says, visualize abortionists on trial. And I keep visualizing that as often as possible.
I have a T-shirt that says it. And I also visualize it all the time. Because, you know, if they're not on trial ever in this life, they're going to be in a big trial in the afterlife.
That's
standing
right.
Before God and all those children standing there accusing them. I can't even imagine. Like we talked about Durzis last week.
Diane Durzis.
Yeah.
She was the one that was featured on the ABC Nightline.
Right.
Expose about the last clinic in Mississippi.
And but her future is between her and God.
Yes. And we'll she actually says she knows Jesus, and either she or Willie, one of them, I watched it again, and one of them said they were doing the Lord's work. And that really startled me, that statement is actually in that ABC Nightline expose. So
I think Willie said that, and she said that what she's doing is between her and God. So
yeah, that's right. Well, what a segue. Could we talk about that little encounter of the divine kind that I had yesterday at the grocery store?
I was just about to bring that up. We've been at Planned Parenthood. Well, I've been in Colorado 16 years. They've been there 25 years every day. There was a woman up until about 3 years ago that was a death escort, and she was just, like a fly in the, I mean, she was always around and always giving you
a
hard time.
Right?
She was a fixture. She was so adamant about getting those women into the mill to have those babies killed. Her name was Helen Walcott, and she was adamant about killing kids. And she would do whatever it took, you know. Even when young kids would come out in a group and they'd be standing around the entry, she'd wake up, and if they weren't saying anything, she'd say, "I really like you kids because you're quiet and you're respectful and you understand." And she'd try to build their egos up,
right,
to believe the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And
she's a grandmother, I would guess.
Oh, she's a grandmother. I was at a restaurant one day, and she was with her granddaughter, so I got to let everybody know who she was. She walked in with her granddaughter. So that was another divine encounter. But yesterday, you called me and you were like, "I can't believe what just happened."
Well, I was at a local grocer, just going up and down the aisles, getting what I needed. And I went past this woman. She's a little tiny woman. And I thought, boy, she looks familiar. And I wasn't even halfway past her. I realized who it was, or at least I thought I knew who it was. And I actually still had sunglasses on, and I don't think she recognized me, although she looked at me. So anyway, I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, Helen from Planned Parenthood, the death squirt that took so many children to their deaths. I feel like I need to talk to her, but I didn't want to. So I finished my grocery shopping and I took my stuff to the car, and I had a packet of brochures that I give out at Planned Parenthood, if I can ever get somebody to take one. And it's called "Is It Wrong to Murder a Baby by Abortion?" And I opened one of them up because I thought, gosh, maybe there's some good scripture in here and I could at least go give this to her. And so I saw, numerous scriptures that would have been just perfect. So I felt like, I don't typically say this, you know, that I heard from God. I mean, I certainly didn't hear anything audible, but I definitely felt like I really needed to go back in and speak to her. So I went back in, and I wasn't sure if she was still there, but I figured she probably was because she had a more full cart than I did. So anyway, I went up and down the aisles. I saw her, and then I came up behind her, and I started thinking, well, maybe it's not her. Maybe I can get out of this. And so anyway, I thought, okay, I'll just say her name. And so I did. I said, "Helen." And she turned around, so I figured,
that was her.
So by then I had my sunglasses off, and I reached my hand out, grabbed her by the hand, shook her hand, and looked her right in the eye, and I said, "Helen, I'm Leslie Hanks, and I just feel like I need to talk to you about all those kids that you escorted to their deaths, and I just feel like the Lord told me to come speak with you and ask you if you've repented for all those kids, those innocent kids that were..."
So how did she respond?
Well, she just kind of, obviously she was taken aback, and she just kind of stared at me like maybe dumbfounded. And so, and I really, didn't want to be strident. I didn't want to be harsh. I just put my hand on her shoulder and I said, "Helen, I just tell you, I really feel like the Lord's saying that he wants you to repent for all those children that were killed on your watch." And she said, "Well, your God isn't my God." And so I looked at her and I said, "Well, Helen, when you meet your maker, you're going to realize that it is your God and he wants you to repent." I think I must have said the same thing three times.
Praise the Lord.
So my heart was pounding pretty hard. But anyway, so I handed her my brochure. And well, I tried to. She didn't want it. And so I laid it into her grocery basket with her coupon book. And, if she read it, oh my goodness, there's more than enough to convict her heart in there. And, I'll never know whether she threw it away or not. I would assume she probably did pick it up and throw it in the nearest garbage can in the grocery store aisle. But even so, even if she didn't read it, she had to see the title, she had to see the cover, and she had to be just flabbergasted that somebody would have the nerve to confront her,
That's right.
After all these years. But, I was at the mill this morning with longtime rescuer Leo,
Uh-huh. Leo Mantine. You know real
well.
Yeah.
Wonderful man. And we started talking. I shared it with him what happened. And I said, you know, we should do a little math. So we were, you know, recounting a few different scenarios. And he, of course, he's been around as long as we have. And he's, I guess he's 70, where he's a little older than we are. But
he's
76, maybe.
I think he's just turning 80.
Well, and I think Helen may be getting close to being 80. But anyway, he said, wasn't she one that always came on Saturdays? And I, you know, I'm not positive he's right, but that sounded right to me. So we kind of started thinking she was the Saturday person. And we figure at a bare minimum, she had to be at Planned Parenthood for a decade, maybe longer.
Longer than that, longer. Because I was here for longer than a decade, and she was there that whole time.
So we just did it based on 10 years. So we figured Saturdays only. What do you think? Maybe 10, 15 kids a Saturday
that she was conservative,
responsible? Yeah, that would be conservative. So, and then I thought, well, take a couple of weeks off for holidays or whatever. You know, maybe she went on vacation. So figure 50 weeks a year, 15 kids a Saturday, that added up to 750 kids a year. So at the bare minimum, she's probably responsible for escorting 7,500 kids to their deaths.
When I first came to Colorado, she was there more than on Saturday. So she's been backing Planned Parenthood and funding Planned Parenthood. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know what's so strange about Helen? Because I tried to talk to her.
Oh, I'm sure you witnessed to her numerous times.
Witnessed to her and she was a civil rights activist.
Oh, no kidding. But she doesn't see the correlation, I'm guessing,
at all. No, and they had some dinner about, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago to honor her and other civil rights activists.
Did they have Terry Sullivan there?
He wouldn't go.
Oh, he was invited?
I think he was,
but
he would not go. And so we went with our signs and with her name on it and saying, you know, Helen may have tried to save the black race from discrimination, but not black babies today.
That's
and
right.
She was very upset because the dinner was like two floors up and all the windows were opened onto us.
Oh, wow.
And so we were just putting up as many messages as we could to everybody in the room, hoping that she would be confronted by a couple of them.
Yeah, well, and as we tell women that go in, black women that are clients, you know, don't be part of Margaret Sanger's legacy because she literally had a plan to destroy the black race. And so that's no coincidence that the killing centers are in the heart of the inner city. And they still honor Margaret Sanger to this day.
Right, it's by design. It's not, even in their little garden outside of Planned Parenthood, there's a plaque dedicating that little garden to Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, but we try to say, you know, be aware of blackgenocide.org. 1,500 innocent black kids every day are killed.
Yeah, that's true. Not reaching the main public because the media makes sure that it doesn't.
That's right.
You know, that there's a designated target on the black and Hispanic communities, the minority communities. The media isn't going to let you know that. And speaking of the media, Rebecca Kissling, who is a survivor of rape and incest, well, she wasn't raped, but she's the baby that was conceived.
Her dad was a rapist, right?
Right. Her dad was a rapist, and luckily for her, her mother didn't have the choice to.
Right. Michigan's law apparently has always protected.
It was before Roe versus Wade, too. So she could not be aborted, although her mother
would have
aborted her. But luckily for her, the laws protected her. And she's somebody that has survived that ordeal because the law made killing children illegally. We have a couple of sound bites. Can we play the first one, please?
Where Medicaid and welfare is going to, we'll have to take care of those children.
Well, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's not politically right to say that, but that's the reality.
Sure, and it's not just politically not right to say that, but, you know, it's personally insulting. I mean, I'm one of those, you know. I was targeted for abortion. And to suggest that, you know, my tax dollars should have paid for children like me to be aborted. That's, you know, pretty insulting.
And you said you were targeted?
Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah, I was legally protected here in Michigan. My birth mother was raped, and I was legally protected. And now we're both thankful that we were both spared from that whore, even though she sought to abort me.
And I'm thankful that she had that choice.
She didn't have that choice.
That should be the appropriate thing.
I was legally protected. The point is, she didn't have that choice. I'm alive because if people were my heroes,
if she had chosen to end that pregnancy, she could have.
She did choose to, but I was protected, and so she couldn't. And so I owe my life to
protected. Protected because what? Because she
was
on Medicaid.
Illegal. I was born before Roe v. Wade.
Oh, okay.
I was protected here in Michigan. In the history of Michigan law, there's never been a rape.
Well, it was really cool how she brought that right back onto her own personal story and threw it in their face.
That was a Planned Parenthood flack, obviously.
The woman was Lori Lamorand.
She was
from Planned Parenthood, who is, I'm so glad that your mother had that right. She had the choice to kill you. There's not even any inflection in her voice that would make it sound like maybe she felt embarrassed by saying such a horrific thing.
Not at all. And, you know, Joe, I hadn't heard that before, you know, coming in here today, but I knew that that was a Planned Parenthood flack.
Oh,
with
yeah.
That talking point. That's just a talking point. That's mm-hmm. all they do is rely on their lame and illogical talking points all the time.
But they've said them so many times, and it's taken so nonchalantly as truth, where people are not thinking through. They just told Rebecca, I'm so glad your mother had the opportunity to kill you.
it's insane. But she was excellent as well on, was it Fox News against Gloria Allred one night?
Mm-hmm.
It's been about a year ago, but she's a little bit of a fighter. It's great.
Yeah, she's been really doing well in some of the interviews. But do you see what the Fox News guy did? He said, I hate to burden the public with welfare babies and unwanted children. Well, welfare shouldn't pay for it. The public shouldn't have to be burdened by that, by abortion and unwanted babies, because it's none of the public's business to take care of those children. It's the parents' business, and it's the church's business.
That's
it's
right.
not the state's business.
That's right. And we both know that there are over a million people on waiting lists to adopt children if people feel like they can't
it's
take
2
care
million.
Of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say 1.5 million, about the same amount of kids are killed as could be adopted. So if they would just make it less onerous for adoption.
That's right. So we have another
soundbite
from Rebecca.
And just so we're clear, Medicaid does not pay for abortion, is that
Medicaid
right?
Medicaid has not
right.
paid
and,
for abortion
when,
for three
And when
decades.
That passed in Michigan, when the Michigan provision passed for no state funding of abortions, abortions dramatically went down. Dramatically reduced, and
well,
we know that if we don't
and unintended
pass this,
pregnancy and unintended births went
well,
way up.
We know that it's sad to just refer to a child as an unintended birth. Wow, that is so sad.
But again, let's
look at a child and say that that's an unintended birth.
I think
birth.
The issue here is for
Ms. Lamoran right away, and unintended pregnancies went up. She has no clue whether they went up or not. None.
Well, it's a talking point.
It's a talking point. That's exactly my point. It was a talking point. She has no clue. People didn't go to Planned Parenthood and say, I can't have an abortion every time they wanted an abortion. She doesn't know what births were intended or not. And every single baby that is born is intended. Once that mom looks at that baby in the eye, that baby is loved, and those moms can't believe what
That's
they
right.
were even planning for
they,
their
they
child.
They fall in love, don't they?
Oh, they fall in love. They fall in love.
Yep.
And even the most, I've had some women I thought, well, maybe they're going to be a little tough on this kid.
Right.
You know, they want to do everything that they can to support this child and bring the child up right. And when we're there, or people like us, or churches who can guide and teach these women mothering skills,
mm-hmm.
they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine. It's unfortunate that our culture is so cold-hearted.
Yes.
And we've lost a lot of skills because of modern psychological teachings about raising children like you can't discipline them.
Right. Well, good for Rebecca for calling her on the carpet for reducing God's blessings to, something so
But you watch the media, and they're constantly throwing you off, constantly
right.
bringing you back to, oh, everybody has to pay for this. Well, let me tell you, a child's life is worth
it's
every single
valuable.
Piece of gold on the earth.
That's right.
You don't
we never
throw
know.
Children away because of money.
That's right.
You know, I'd like to know how much money Planned Parenthood is going to skim out of D.C.
What did we hear today?
Bob's on the phone.
Bob Enyard?
Oh, okay. We'll take Bob's call. He must be close by. Hello, Bob.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
What an honor that you're filling in the studio there. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Well, I would like to give you a report on the meeting that I was just at.
Oh, that would be
down
great.
Down south, Colorado, and also comment on Rebecca's clips.
Okay.
So Rebecca Kiesling, if you recall, she gave a wonderful endorsement of an article at American Right to Life's website on burning buildings and half a loaf.
Yes.
Right.
And the whole purist issue. So we strongly encourage Christians to read that article to try to understand the dynamics and how we need to focus not on regulating child killing, but on the humanity of the unborn child.
Amen.
And Leslie, when I was listening to the earlier part of that segment,
yes,
the part you guys did not air, they were talking about funding abortion.
Oh, I didn't hear that, Bob.
Well, even though, you know, we love Rebecca dearly, mm-hmm. and she's supportive of personhood, but it was not going real well for our side because the discussion was not about the humanity of the child.
Right.
And imagine if we were in Germany and we are talking about where the funding is coming from for Auschwitz. And we were arguing that as taxpayers, we don't want to have to pay for Auschwitz, for the right. gassing of Jewish children. I mean, that is so far, I'm not criticizing Rebecca at all. I'll try to be real clear about my point.
Mm-hmm.
That discussion is so far off point that it undermines the moral force of our position. So we want to be rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We want to try to save the innocent people and the children on the ship.
That's right.
So when Rebecca was able to move the conversation to the humanity of the child, which is personhood, that's what personhood
yes.
and abolition, that's what that's all about, then the tide was turned. And then the force of her position was so obvious. So thank you for airing that. That was great.
So what happened at your meeting, Bob?
Well, let me tell you, there were a few personhood leaders that were asked to come to a meeting by, and I'm not going to give the names or the churches, but one of Colorado's most successful promoters, concerts and big events,
mm-hmm.
has completely committed himself to protect unborn children through the personhood movement.
Praise the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And he laid out a vision for the next couple years on what could be done for the Brady Amendment, for the campaign for 2014, and potentially even beyond.
Wow.
That is phenomenal.
What's that last thing? I couldn't hear that.
Oh, I said that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And so he has produced... He's a promoter. He's produced some of Colorado's most successful events and Christian events. The musicians he works with, the talent he works with, are also strongly pro-life.
So he's like a Barry Fay type of a promoter, but he's in the Christian world?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay.
And so he also invited some others, some people very involved in getting the body of Christ to be unified and to love your neighbor, not just to be Christian in church, but being, it's like they brought up the Good Samaritan, when Jesus said it was the priest and the Levite who didn't love their neighbor, but it was the Samaritan who didn't even know God who tried to save the life of this victim of a crime left for dead.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they've heard of churchrepent.com.
Well, they should have, right?
Yeah.
We interviewed T. Russell Hunter on that great project.
Yeah.
And so one of the folks that the promoter invited said that what needs to be done is that the personhood movement could be a huge ally to the body of Christ in that it could be what promotes further unity in the body of Christ.
Love to see that.
Fabulous, yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
So that these events could focus on unity in the body of Christ around God as our creator, and we are made in his image, and we're to love God and love our neighbor.
Wow, I bet they were really blessed to have somebody that just came from a creation conference in their midst.
Well, I couldn't help but mention that, so thanks for pointing that out, Leslie. That's great. And so not only did we realize that the value to the body of Christ with personhood moving Christians toward unity, which is what Jesus prayed for us, but then also it's that unity that we need to have the victory against the child killers.
That's absolutely true, Bob. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. This is really exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yeah.
So what's the first step?
Well, they have outlined potential events for the Brady Amendment campaign, Lord willing, that we get on the ballot. Now, the turn-in date has been pushed because Alan Keyes is coming to Colorado to speak at the Colorado Right to Life banquet.
I hope you invited everybody.
Yeah.
Good.
So the turn-in date has been pushed to the date of the banquet, which is September 7th.
So people can just bring their petitions that night.
They could bring their petitions to the banquet, and there will be a notary there to notarize their petition.
And the best speaker they'll have ever heard.
That's absolutely right.
Exactly.
It's $100 a plate. It's expensive, but we need the money for the Brady campaign.
Amen.
If you're going to invest, that's a good place to invest.
Yeah, amen. So, ladies, thank you for enabling me to go to that meeting. I think there's going to be a lot of fruit from that meeting. So,
praise
thank
the Lord,
you.
Bob. Thanks
you.
For going. God bless you.
Okay, ladies. Talk to you soon. Bye.
What an exciting life we lead, Leslie.
Ooh, that's right.
Yes,
it's
every
an
day
honor,
good news.
Yeah.
It is an honor to be in on this. Folks, we hope that you will come to the Colorado Right to Life banquet, that you will invest in Little Brady and life as it is. And thanks for listening.
Get some
Leslie.
Signatures. You can register for the banquet online, coloradorighttolife.org.
Do right.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Les.